In the old China, it was a famous Zen master called Nansen. He was in the woods one cold day, close to his temple, cutting down some trees with a huge axe. A monk who had come from a distance to pay homage and visit the master passed through the woods and came close to the woodcutter. "Is the master Nansen at home?" he asked the woodcutter. The woodcutter replied to the monk, "I bought this axe for 2 pieces of copper." And letting the axe, raising it above the astonished monk's head, he added, "And it's very sharp." The monk ran away very quickly to discover later that the woodcutter was Nansen himself. That is the beautiful thing with the Zen masters. You never know how they're going to react. They don't follow any rules or how they should behave. They are responding to the moment. And one master can be very different from the other. And it doesn't matter what he does and what his technique is. What matters is that he himself is the message. He is the fire. So coming close means you coming close to the fire. He's not interested in any scriptures or any books or any rules. He wants to see if you can respond to the moment, if you are present, if you are not absent-minded. And another thing that is very known with the Zen masters, that they do these ordinary things, like cutting woods. And this monk, he must have come with his own ideas how the master is. And seeing the woodcutter, he could never believe that that was the master. Because everybody comes with all these projections, ideas of how a master should be, how he should behave, what he should say. And all that has to be shocked before you can see the master as he is. "Is the master Nansen at home?" asked the woodcutter. He asked the woodcutter. The woodcutter replied to the monk, "I bought this axe for 2 pieces of copper." What kind of answer is that? It doesn't make sense. But this is the way the master can test you. How do you respond? He wants to shock you into the moment. No, you ask something, you get a totally different answer. Very unexpected. No, you are dealing with somebody who doesn't follow the norm of how people behave. Otherwise, you ask something and you are sure what kind of answer you're getting. Because people are just like machines. They answer just what you expect them to answer. Nobody wants to stick out. That means nobody can be spontaneous. And if you are spontaneous, you will shake them up. You are not behaving after the rules of the society. You are not behaving after the rules of the religion. You are not behaving after the rules of your family. And you have to have courage to be yourself. So Nansen, he's just checking this monk. And on top of it, he's lifting the eggs above the monk's head and says, and it's very sharp. The axe might be sharp, but the master is sharp. He's there to cut your head. So if the monk had looked in his eyes or responded not so predictable that just run away, he got scared. He was full of fear. It means also your meditation is not very deep when you get so afraid. You are just on automatic. Because meditation means you have to face yourself. You have to go through a death. Because you come to the master just as a somebody, as an ego. And that somebody has to go. That ego has to go. And that makes everybody afraid because you don't know how you will function without your ego, without your identity. That is the death. Going through that death, you are reborn. And, says Jesus, only those who are reborn can come into my kingdom of God. It means the whole past, you are clean again. It's a second birth. It is very sharp. And that's what he wants to make the disciple, very sharp, very clear. Very conscious, very aware. And you have to be ready to face death. You have to be ready to face danger. You have to be ready to face all your fears. That is what he's saying. But like most people, he ran away. The monk ran away. And the master, in so many ways, creates opportunities for you to wake up, to reflect on how you respond, how you are. He creates situations in so many different ways. And if you are asleep, then you just react just like this monk. Then afterwards, then you will think, oh, did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Did I behave the right way? That is how the mind is. Is it right? Is it wrong? Oh, I shouldn't have done this. That means you behave very predictable. You didn't you wasn't spontaneous to the situation. And nobody knows how one should behave. And that's why people are at a loss. Everybody is at loss here also when they first come, because they don't know how to behave. But here we don't have any rules. You have to find out how to behave. You have to find out how you function. You have to be natural, that is the thing. I don't give you any rules, any regulation, any commandments. That is easy. Again, you can just be like a robot. No, you have to figure out. This monk, if he had done so many things, he could have lifted up another stick and said, okay, come on. He could have jumped on him and tickled him. He could have screamed and laughed. In so many ways, whatever it would be spontaneous. He wouldn't be a slave out of his instinct, which is fear. Maybe this man is killing me. And his mind, when he ran away, must have thought many things. This guy is totally crazy. And that's how the mind is. You will judge everybody out of the action they do. That is also another point to remember. You have to go deeper than what you see to come to the real. No, afterwards, then he found out that this woodcutter was Nansen himself. That was the master himself that he wanted to visit. No, maybe again he tried to go back, had a plan, but no, it doesn't work. No, the master will do something else. No, he missed the opportunity. No, the master already knows where he is at. Because he sees how you respond to the situation. Not what you are saying. Not what you are promising. Not what you are bragging about. But he looked behind. And the Zen master and all masters have to create these opportunities and situations. Because if you are ready, then you will see. And at least he is seeing clearly where you are at. But it's so easy to miss. It's so easy to miss the moment. And that is what the master wants to do, to bring you into the moment, into the now, for you to wake up. And you have to face all your fears and all your mind and all your projections, and you have to go beyond them. That is the message of Nansen. It also showed that he didn't want anybody, because some people, they let in anybody. You have different masters, and some is very strict. They really test them before they come. Most probably he didn't have many disciples, but the one that he had must be pretty good. It wouldn't be many here if I had used those techniques either. But we have other ways. Beloved Swan, since I wrote you that letter to you last year about how miserable I was doing and everything just being negative, something has happened. It's like a switch was turned on. Now it's bright. I'm so positive and I'm beaming of joy. If anything is difficult, I look at it from the bright side. I see even my shoulder injury as a blessing and not a curse. I'm happy, Puneet, because I didn't know what to do with you, because you are just on the words to maybe you escape. Because many people, when they face the negativity, they can easily disappear. Because it's not pleasant to face your own darkness, your own negativity. But you trusted me. Something happened to you. You listen. And I remember you were so miserable, whatever, just hangdog all the time. And everything was just negative. But now something has happened. It's like a switch was turned on. That's exactly how it is. It's just like a switch. It doesn't need to be a big process. No matter how old the darkness is, when the light comes, it disappears. That's the magic of light. The only thing is to switch on that light, on that switch, or open the door so the light comes in. It's amazing. Get used to being positive. It's much more fun than life is much more beautiful, Puneet, being positive. And you can be positive with everything. It doesn't matter what. Everything. I look at it from the bright side. That is your choice, you know. If one is stupid, then you look at everything from the dark side. All the time, just a slave of your mind, complaining. Then just a little shift, then you can look at it from the bright side. That is your choice. And only out of a positive mind, an open mind, a clear mind, can something else happen, that you go beyond both of it, positive and negative. A thousand thanks for the courage you have given me. I feel I can go through everything without losing my courage and smile. Yes, you can. And thank you for receiving it. Again and again, I see the proof of what I'm giving when you receive. Just you have to, if it's something that is that valuable, you really have to take it into your heart, your soul. So it becomes part of you. This courage, this joy, this steadiness. You become unshakable in it. Because now you know it. With a positive heart and an eternal gratitude, Puneet. No, Puneet is Puneet now. What are you doing now? Are you doing any school or work or anything?
I teach kids how to swim.
That's good. Just like me, I'm teaching you how to swim. And life is rough. You can easily drown. You need a lot of skill. Every kid should know how to swim, and every human being should know how to function in the ocean of samsara. Then it's nice. That's good. And to be with kids can be very nice. Sometimes, maybe not so nice also, but... Just be positive. You see, before you wanted to be the world champion swimmer and like all that stress. All that tension to become so good, training. No, you can just relax and just teach the kids. And then so many have a good time and learning to swim instead of only one, very good. That is how the mind is. And that's why you're so negative. I have to be the best, the champion, better than everybody. No, you can teach everybody instead. You teach 100 children, then you feel very good, very loving, and much less effort. Just a little doodle. Otherwise, training. Thanks to me and that shoulder that you taught, you didn't know how to function, I remember. You were all the champion swimmer, and then your shoulder gone, then what can I be now? Nothing, just the loser. Look now, so positive. Thanks, you never can say how the outcome will be. Something you think is very negative. Oh, why me? Oh. Certainly, it's a blessing. No, you have realized that very early in your life. It's very good. Some people, they go on whole life. They whip themselves. Oh, 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 oh. If you're happy, then you can never hurt yourself. Swimming is good, but too much swimming is no good, Puneet. Too much of anything is no good. It's the balance. Otherwise, no fun. Beloved Babaji, I'm becoming nothing. How is that, Roy?
It's great.
It's good. I'm also very happy now. Now we can start having fun now. You ready? You're not so much in the way. I like to deal with nobodies. It's easy. Somebody is very difficult. I am becoming nothing. The more I ask myself who I am, the less I become. That's how this tricky thing is. This simple question reveals that everything I thought I was is conditioning. That's exactly what it's supposed to do. In one of the sessions of Who Am I realized that I live by such a narrow definition of good and bad, right and wrong. I'm measuring myself and others with a tiny ruler, and on that tiny ruler, the acceptable space in which I can operate is about 3 millimeters. And that's the truth. And that makes you very, very tight. Very tight. Because you are so in a tiny, tiny, tight corridor, and you can hardly move or do anything that is not contained there. But you only see that when you are out of it. And that's what I'm going on talking about. You have to break down. You have to loosen up. You have to melt. You have to let go. But you are not even aware of it because it's so much part of you. It is you. Here I am with an infinite existence and the opportunity to live my short life to the fullest. And I keep myself in a prison box of 3 millimeters. I just had to shout out in shock and frustration. Good. And luckily, I have shouting and screaming part of this Sangha. Because you have to be allowed, whatever way you feel, you can release this old tension. Good. Maybe nothing happens also. It can be just like a soap bubble that breaks. Poof. Washing dishes in the kitchen during the primal group, I had the realization that the good in me is also conditioning. It is easy for me to see the bad conditioning and want to get rid of it. But this good conditioning is so deep that I think it's me. It's more difficult, and it's good that you see it. And that's the amazing thing, because I can talk about it day in and day out, but you have to realize it. The good is just the other side of the bad, and both has to go. And that's what I mean, this goody-goody. It doesn't work here. As long as it is from your conditioning. You are goodness, you are consciousness, you are awareness. But that can only come forth when this good and bad has gone. Not only the so-called bad, but the good too, because that is also conditioning. Everything good and bad needs to go. And all the layers are not me. I'm beyond good and bad, beyond judgment. Yes. I see all the energy I waste on all these judgments, judgments of myself, of others. It's very good that you see, because only then it can change. And this seeing happens only when it happens. It's nothing you can do. It has to be an inner realization. I think I could do so much if I directed that energy into something else. But then I need to be careful. Because I could easily start judging myself about that. You have to be careful, but even better, be aware. And that is the whole thing. Now you understand what I'm talking about, that you have to break down. All that old has to break down. Then you have to start training yourself out of awareness. And of course, you have to be very cautious, sensitive, in balance. Otherwise, you will fall again. Because the habit is so strong. Even if you have seen it, even if you have realized it. No, it needs practice. And that is all up to you. How aware you are to integrate, to start living in the new. Unpolluted by good and bad, just in awareness. Dealing with the moment. Thank you, my beloved, 1,000 times for giving me the gift of your presence, for helping me to come home to myself, for bringing me back to life, at your feet with tears of gratitude. Rahi. All somebodies is afraid of nothingness. Because that somebody has to disappear. But remember, Buddha and the Buddhists, they don't talk about God, they talk about emptiness, nothingness. Space, shunya. And in nothingness, can there be any fear? Can there be any judgments? Can there be any good or bad? It is. It just is. And isness is the true religion. Just is as it is. It's not this or that. It is just this. Becoming nothing, that's what enlightenment is. Nothingness. And then to functioning out of that nothingness. That is like Jesus said, you are half spirit, half God, half man, half material, half spirit. You are the physical, but in that physical you have the non-physical. In the matter, you have the non-matter. in that somebody-ness, you have nothingness. And what is nothingness? Is no thing-ness. No thing. It's not nothingness, it's no thing-ness. You're not the thing. You're much more than just the thing. It's no thing-ness. You're much more. And everybody is afraid of nothingness. It's like, then what? And then it's just the pure vastness, consciousness. You much rather be a thing, cling to the thing, little thing. Tingling thing. So remember, nothingness is not nothingness, it's no thingness. But there's more in this world than just things. Huh? But everybody just see things, everybody just see forms, appearances. Everybody is afraid of this, that. Hmm? Only the form dies. The nothingness cannot die, that which is beyond. So realizing that, that is freedom. And it's so simple. I don't know how we got so delusioned. You came without any name, any form, from nothingness, and you are nothingness. Just because you are Johnny Johnson, then everything is safe? No, 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 no. John Johnson will go. But nobody goes that far. You find that, back to that, when you are here, you are free then. That is beyond good and bad. So simple, but people are so complicated that they don't understand that which is simple. And that is the problem for any master to talk about. And slowly, slowly, you're becoming more and more simple, more and more natural, so you understand that simple message. Then you are very happy and very grateful at your feet with tears of gratitude. Thank you, my beloved, 1,000 times for giving me the gift of your presence, for helping me to come home to myself, for bringing me back to life. And remember that this realization is not an end, this is a beginning. I always said when I realized, I saw that it is an end to suffering, but there is no end to bliss. There was a great Zen master called Sōsan, and he said this, the great way is not difficult, which all the masters have said, but this is so beautiful, it's so straight, it's really the essence of truth of Zen. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. But everybody has. So it's very difficult. Very difficult. But it's not difficult for those who have no preferences. When good and bad are both absent, when love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and distinguished. Make the smallest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. That is what they call the razor's edge in Zen. The path is like a razor's edge. How can you keep that balance? You have to be very, very weightless. in balance. Then it's very easy. If you're carrying all your luggage, it's impossible. You will fall. It's impossible even to climb. You will miss it. It's so narrow. But for nothingness, it's very easy. You dance on that razor's edge. If you wish to see the truth, then hold no opinion for or against. That is what you just saw. This is what the master always has seen, but how to transfer that to you? You have to slowly, slowly come to that understanding. No, really take it in. The struggle of what one likes and what one dislikes is the disease of the mind. That is the disease of the mind. And if you have the disease of the mind, you are sick. That's why they call Buddha the doctor, a healer. Because these people can heal you from the disease of the mind that really fucks you up and destroys your whole life. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. Rest in nothingness and be happy. And let everything come from there. In fact, all joy comes from there because everything comes from emptiness. Form comes from emptiness and go back to emptiness. Being connected with that, you are connected with everything. You are connected with the source.